Welcome to the Full Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:44, and that's Pacific Summer Time. Well, today we saw that the European markets in particular were bouncing, that we had this incredibly impressive breakout earlier in the year, that we had very deep overbought conditions, and that we've been in a process of mean reversion for much of the last 6 weeks. And of course, that is the mirror opposite of what happened with the euro, that the euro had had this accelerating decline down to about 105 and change, and that it was susceptible to a mean reversionary rally, and that's exactly what we've had. Well, the rally got all the way up to just about 115 on Friday. I think it was 114.89 or something to that effect, and has pulled back today by over a cent and 35 ticks. It's not exactly an entire mean reversion, that we didn't get all the way back up to the moving average. Well, of course, we might yet do that, but that we are starting to now see that resistance is coming in the region of a big round number, which is 115, and also in the region of the 200-day moving average, that the vast majority of the oversold condition has now been unwound. And the potential is that we're going to see that this is very much the latter stages of the euro's rally, that the most likely scenario is that even if one were to paint a bullish outcome for the euro over the next 6 months, that you'd anticipate at least some consolidation here, and that there is the potential that we could have quite a bit of volatile ranging in perhaps even a 10 cent range, which in the context of currencies would be very large. Well, with the euro weakening, that has lent a tailwind to a number of European stock markets, not least Germany, where some of the larger constituents, not least Volkswagen or Bayer, they were bouncing from the region of their respective 200-day moving averages. In here, they've totally unwound their respective large overbought conditions. Again, even if one is going to be very bullish and say that they're going to push all the way back up to their highs, that the chances are we're going to get a bit of consolidation in the current region, and that the next significant pullback, we would hope to see it find support above last week's lows. That would at least give us an indication that demand is returning at progressively higher levels, but that the chances are that the mean reversion rally that we were anticipating has run the majority of its course in here. In Asia, in here today, the Chinese stock market continues to consolidate, a massive overbought condition there as well, but that so far the range has been relatively shallow. It's in fact relatively similar size to that which we saw earlier in the year, and that you would really need to see the March lows taken out to suggest that this is going to turn into a bigger, much more prolonged range. The Hang Seng Index had the breakout from which was a breakout from a 3-year range, and that this is still consolidating in here. The ASX in Australia was down about 1 1/3%. Well, the Australian index has failed in the region of 6,000 on at least 3 or 4 occasions this year, and last week bounced from the region of the 200-day moving average. It really does need to hold in that area if we're going to continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. And 5,600 also represents the upper side of what was the underlying range. So ideally, that's where you would anticipate it finding support. But this has been a choppy advance to begin with, and that we've seen overshoots relative to the moving average on a number of occasions over the last 3 or 4 years. So you couldn't rule that out either, to perhaps even a drawdown to 5,500. When we look at Wall Street, well, this is looking really very positive, that the S&P has spent most of the year ranging and broke out to new all-time highs on Friday, and improved upon that performance in here, is up an additional 1/3% in here today. The Russell 2000, which had come right down to test the region of the moving average and the upper side of the underlying trading range, bounced and also improved on its performance in here today. It's a very similar story for the Nasdaq and indeed the Dow Jones. Well, what's happening in the equity markets is interesting, particularly when we look at the volatility that we've had in the bond markets. That I don't know the exact statistics, but I don't remember a time when the long bond has traded more than two points up and down more than once in a week, and we've had it nearly three times, I think, in the last 2 weeks. This is a large degree of volatility. And when we look at the yield, that the progression of lower rally highs has been broken, that you now have a higher reaction low, that the failed break down to new lows, which was on record high volume earlier this year, has now failed, and that we've probably seen a medium term, if not a long term, top in pricing. And little wonder, when the high back in March was at 166, almost 167, for a contract that redeems at par. Well, just by virtue of the levels alone, one would have to say that these bonds are expensive. But that when you look right across the curve, what we're seeing evidence of is that the potential for rate hikes and for higher rates is being priced in right across the curve. That people are starting to worry about inflation. And the most salient source of inflation would be wage growth. We haven't really had wage growth for much of the last 3 or 4 years. It's almost the one thing that hasn't been headed out of the inflation measure. So it's really something that moves the needle at the Fed. And what we would be looking for is that if wage growth month on month starts to accelerate or to break out of the base that is it has had for the last 3 years, when that happens, then the chances of the Fed raising rates will be pretty high. In the meantime, what we're seeing is that the equity markets continue to price in that we're in a very bullish environment. I started reading Jim Mellon's new book yesterday about the types of companies that will contribute to the technological advances that we're getting. And, well, I guess veteran subscribers will be very familiar with the fact that we're bullish, that we believe that the technological innovation really will have a remarkable effect on the way we're living our lives, that productivity growth will take off, and that it's one of the foundations for our belief that we're entering a secular bull market. But, well, something that's at the back of my mind is the role that liquidity has had in the bull market that we've enjoyed so far, that people are more willing to accept this idea now than they would have been 3 or 4 years ago, because technology shares have done well, that equity markets have done well, and that anyone who invested on those themes have been rewarded for doing so. And I wonder what's going to happen when we start to see the interest rate cycle changing. And, well, we don't know when exactly that's going to happen, but we're certainly closer to it in the US than we are elsewhere. We're still in a liquidity-fueled environment, and we've never been in quite so much of a liquidity-fueled environment previously. We just do not know how this is going to play out. But you have to imagine that the companies that have become, and the investors and the traders and the governments that have become most indebted during this period of loose monetary policy are going to be the ones that have got the greatest risk to extending the maturities on that debt later. That's probably something that we're going to have to deal with at some point around the late teens or early 2020s. it's not something that we really have to worry about just now, because there's not an awful lot of maturing debt in 2015, and not really a great deal of maturing debt in 2016 either. We'll continue to be guided by what's happening with the price action. Well, gold prices are back to the region of the 200-day moving average. They're finishing out today at $1,225. That's just about where the moving average is. Silver was stronger today by an additional 15 cents. And what we continue to see that the precious metal sector generally is starting to firm up, and not least in the mining sector. The miners have been blessed by the pullback that we've had in oil prices. And the fact that gold prices have been reasonably steady in that environment will have flattered their balance sheets. Well, also the fact that miners came back to test the valuations relative to gold that they last saw in 2001 means that they're cheap relative to the gold price, and well, the fact that they've gone through this massive process of rationalization is also all to the good. Well, gold prices in a stronger dollar environment will see just to what extent that they can push above the $1,225 area. This really is the key level, that we're back to the progression of lower rally highs within the range, we're back in the region of the trend mean, and that if we're going to demonstrate that demand can return to dominance beyond what has been a short-term rally, well, this is it. We're going to find out pretty soon. What we are seeing, though, in the mining sector is that the number of shares that are completing 18-month bases is increasing, and demonstrating that some of these companies are quite positively leveraged to gold at these levels. When we look at the oil price, it's probably the thing that it's still by far the most important of the commodities, and WTI is back to just about $60. It was as high today as $60.88 and closed out the day closer to $59.64. Almost completely unwound its oversold condition relative to the moving average. Companies like Southwestern Energy have got a very similar chart pattern to the oil price, and they're also encountering resistance now in the region of the moving average. The incredibly deep oversold condition has been unwound, and now we're going to see just how well oil prices can consolidate in this region. Brent crude is around $66 and very, very similar. It's right in the region of the trend mean. What we also saw today was that Saudi Arabia exported more oil in April, I think, than it has done in 9 years. So they're not pulling back on production. They may have removed some of the discounts that they were offering to Asian buyers, but they're certainly not cutting production. This is really a war between Saudi Arabia and the unconventional oil and gas companies, and who has deeper pockets and who can keep producing for longer. Well, we're going to find out, but what it does mean is that we're in for a volatile ride in energy pricing, and following really what has been an impressive rally, the potential for consolidation and potentially something deeper than that, I think, is growing at this stage. Certainly we've seen that some of the energy companies, I was just looking at the XLE, the energy ETF in the US, before I started the audio, and well, it's pulling back from the region of the moving average starting last week. Oil hasn't quite started to pull back yet. I wonder that is the potential that investors are looking at the energy companies as high beta oil, and that it might be potentially a lead indicator for the contract. Well, I think with that I will leave you for today, and I wish all the best to all of you.